What's up, F3 Boise? We're back. It's been a little bit since we last recorded. This is Talio 32 Doodle.
And Garrett Marcel 37 Cortana.
James Whitman 41 Hooch.
And joining us on the call today, we have...
Well, I gotta
Brian
go.
Williams, 42, Sushi.
Sushi.
Sushi, welcome.
Sushi. And Davide Farnocchia, 40, Rocket Man.
Rocket Man. We should preface, we prep them for none of this. We just say, we're doing it live. Go.
Yeah, if the quality of the voice on that end for Sushi and Rocket Man sounds a little bit different than what you're hearing from our luscious voices, it says these gentlemen are joining us through the magic of the cell phone port on the board here. So they've actually called in. They've sacrificed some of their evening to be with us. They're going to come in at the back half of our podcast today and give us a little bit of insight, what it was like on the Owyhee Off-Road Challenge. So... and let us know what they had going on there. It sounds we got another.
We got Defrost calling in. Hey, Defrost.
What's up?
How's it going, man?
Hey, you are quote unquote live on the air. So want to go ahead and give us a name of Rama brother, and we'll jump into our part of the program.
All right, Dan Hingley, 46 Defrost.
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 All right. Well, thank you guys for calling in.
Cool. So, like I said, it's been a couple weeks. We have quite a few things to catch up on. Probably the most impressive is our FNG list.
We'll get to that. You're getting excited.
I am getting excited. It's a long list.
It's going to be amazing. But we're going to jump into it. We're going to talk about our stuff worth sharing.
That's important.
And Dudu, you gave us a comment in the chat thread just talking about, hey, what are things that you've seen that we appreciate right now?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
kind of what was the context you were looking for there?
So I was doing my like monthly reading, right? Like every once in a while I crack a book open and I read. Probably would have been the hardest part of 75 hard for me was cracking a book open and reading. But here I was on a flight to Alabama and I was reading. It's How to Think Like a Roman Emperor. And they're talking about, it's a book on Stoicism and Marcus Aurelius. Aurelius?
You had it.
I had it close, yeah. Close enough.
Yeah. Just commit, man. It's an ancient name.
But so they're talking about in the book, during your daily meditations, right, is reflecting on people you admire and things that you would see in other people that you want to try and emulate and be. And I was kind of sitting there thinking, we just came off of having a really rough week with our kids, right? And there's we had one of those weeks where we were like, man, I don't know if I see anything good in my kids, right? Which is sometimes you're like, just nitpicking like I wish they did this better. I wish they did this better. And that phrase in the book kind of had me thinking, not necessarily like, I need to spend some time reflecting on people I want to emulate, but more of, I need to spend some time reflecting on the things I appreciate about other people. And then I hope that, how does that affect our narrative in our head on how we view other people? Kind of like the idea of like we talk about stuff worth sharing, right? Sometimes you have to remind yourself of the things that we're sharing about somebody. So some things I wrote down here is like our middle child, sometimes it feels very, he's not as resilient as my wife and I, right? We both like bounce, anything bounces off of us, good to go. He is like, my brother who's 2 hit me and I'm going to cry. Not because it hurt, but because he hit me. Right. And that makes me upset. But, so that it's easy to get frustrated about that. But then on the flip side, I sit back and like reflect and I was like, oh, he's got the biggest heart. Right. Mm. He's the very first one. You know, if you're hurt, he's coming over and showing all the empathy in the world to you. Right. And so it's just kind of like my reflection for the week or my stuff we're sharing was, what are you seeing in other people and within F3 community, within your work, within your family, your kids, stuff like that? Which are we spending some time reflecting on the good that we see in other people?
Sorry, I'm chuckling to myself over here because like you're comparing your resiliency to your son. It's like you got 30 years of bumps and bruises on him, bro. Just give him a minute.
Yeah, I know. But when you compare him against his brothers,
I like where you took that with that big heart that you can appreciate. It's always we try to hold people to a standard that we think we want them to have, or we recognize our strengths in other people, and we see that weakness where we see our strength. So that's a Yeah, that's important to see it both ways.
Yeah. So I guess my challenge, guys, is this week is pick somebody in the gloom and like just when you're reflecting on like, hey, the positive thing you see about them and the positive thing that you know, it's like, are you sharing that with that individual too? Am I telling my son, I love your heart, son. You've got the biggest heart, you know? Or am I going out and seeing Hooch out in the gloom and saying, Hooch, I love how tough on people you are. You know, like I love that about you. You know, if I may reflect on this, like, oh, I wish sometimes I could be a little harder on people, you know? But yeah, that was my stuff we were sharing.
No, that's good. All right. I'll go.
It was deep.
Please. Yeah. All right. I didn't know if there was like a transition or anything. I will go. So yeah, I've been reflecting really just over the last year, but more kind of short term this last week, coming up on kind of 1 year of my grandfather passing. And the reason I've been reflecting on that is because I've seen how that's affected my dad, which is his youngest son, and how my dad has been really at, you know, age 63, thinking about legacy and what legacy he's leaving to me and my siblings and then to his grandkids. And so as a result, I've been thinking a lot about, man, what's my legacy to my kids? You know, what am I doing now? What do I value? What do I spend my time and money and energy on that has a lasting impact on my kids and the people around me? Because that's really what my legacy is going to be. It's not the hobbies that I selfishly spend all my money on. You know, the kids may or may not care about that. My wife may or may not care about that. There's a lot of things that I do that are selfish that aren't going to be a part of that legacy, right? So not that those things are bad, but what's that intersection look like, right? What's the intersection of what do I value versus what's going to be lasting? And I don't have an answer, unfortunately, right now, a good one at least, but it's been on my mind a lot and kind of retooling the way that I approach things that I like to do and things that I like to do with my kids and my family. So that's been on my mind and on my heart recently.
Yeah. Mm. Simple doesn't mean easy, right?
No. Exactly.
Right. I've had I've had a lot of those same thoughts too. Like I really enjoy certain things. And then it'll, you know, every once in a while I'll be like, man, why am I doing this? And then your kid will might surprise you like, Dad, I love that you dedicate time into doing this. Or I love that you're good at doing this. I love making ice cream. I love it, right? I love cooking certain things. You're like, is that a long-lasting legacy? No, I'm not going to, like, no one's going to put on my headstone, he made a really bomb chocolate ice cream, you know? But I think it's the discipline that you can show within those activities that might actually show to your kids, like, hey, you know, I enjoy doing this, and I see it through, and I try to be a master at my craft, and you know, sometimes I make really bad ice cream. I made one turned into cheese. It was terrible. it was more like butter, but it was awful. And the kids were like, you know, Dad, thank you for making this, but out of that, you know, you could demonstrate, yeah, Dad does everything to prep it up, and he does it, and he cleans it up afterwards. You know, it's like different stages. You can show your kids different things through your hobbies, even if, you know, world's greatest ice cream maker won't be on my tombstone. You know, but hopefully you're showing them a skill, right? Yeah. Or a discipline. Because obviously, you're, I imagine if you're dedicated into it and putting time and money into it, you're showing dedication to it.
For sure.
I don't know. I don't know if that helps.
Well, and even investing in the interests of your kids and what they like to do, right? And seeing where those overlap. And sometimes, yeah, I got to suck it up and do something that isn't necessarily how I would spend my time, but trying to be less selfish about those things and that time spent. Because you've only got so many years and so many moments, right? And then they're out of the house.
Yeah. So kind of piggybacking just on that thought of, you know, how much time we have and those moments that we're sharing. One of the things that's kind of come through to me, even through this Easter season, it's kind of apt. Looking at men who are holding up over the burden of loss. We have Bedpan, just lost father-in-law recently. I have a gentleman that I work with, a week and a half ago, lost his wife, just out of nowhere, she passed away. And watching men just, you know, bear up under that, you know, the pain and the hole that's been left behind by somebody dying in their life, you know, somebody important, somebody that was there. And hoping that when I'm presented with that challenge, you know, and I don't know if that's a blessing that I'm around to you know, to be the person that has to endure that rather than, you know, the one who's going first, that I can bear under that with as much grace, and strength and positivity that I've actually seen in those two men. So that's definitely something I've seen that I'm looking at, hoping to have in myself, but hoping not to find out too soon.
Right.
That's good. I think how it comes a little full circle on, like, you know, how what kind of example you're setting your kids that they can emulate. What, you know, kind of are you seeing other people that you can emulate? You know, kind of comes. That was some good stuff we're sharing.
That is good.
I think so.
We went deep.
We went jump straight into the deep end today.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
This is what you get when I spend too much time traveling and flying on planes, and I haven't been out with y'all enough.
You got thoughts with Doodle.
Just happy to have the sprinkling of it that we still get.
So. That's right.
I know, I probably got like one more podcast after this one, so it hurts a little bit.
So let's jump into events and places gone by. It's, your leaving is one of those things that's in the future. I don't have to think about it yet. That's a problem for future Hooch.
For Pooch.
That's right. And I don't want to cry. So things that have happened in this past month. So today, April 22nd, last time we recorded was March 20th.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, yeah, right?
It's been a month.
So we had the Rise Ruck Forgiving that went on that from downtown down to the Boise Rescue Mission. Any of you guys had an opportunity to hear an AAR on that? I have not heard how that went. Or
I did not get a chance to go. I'd love to follow up with Husker on that and see kind of what happened. But
yeah, I've not heard.
Hey, hang, we have somebody on the... Hey, Sushi! Ruck Forgiving, man. Were you able to see that? I know that you're over in that neck of the woods. How did that go?
So I was there, actually.
Oh, perfect.
I was there with my son, and we had Upright there. Actually, sorry, I was there with my two kiddos, my son and my daughter.
Conveniently forgot about the
Upright
first one.
Upright was there with his little girly. Flipper was there too. And we had Husker and Enhance with one of his kiddos. And so, yeah, it was a little bit smaller than last year. We made a good time of it. Still had a pretty good haul down to the men's mission. Took some photos and spent about 10 minutes talking to the guys at the reception desk about F3, what we are, what we do. They seemed like they had a lot of interest, and we did actually discuss potentially some options of how we can better engage the men that are at the men's mission, you know, considering their lack of transportation options, right? And we kind of on the way back talked about bringing the beat down to them. Seeing if we had any ideas or any ways that we could make that happen. So that's kind of an open topic as we left it. Yeah, it was a good event, and we'll definitely be doing it again next year.
That's great.
Yeah, proud of you guys living out in the community and planning something there in the future. I know that idea of holding beatdowns and having an AO at shelters, I know that's something that is done across the country, so... You'd be following some good footsteps there if that was something that we could get to grow. So proud of you guys. Well done.
Well, yeah. Keep us updated on that, Sushi. That's sounds like some exciting developments there.
We'll do.
And then again, we're kind of having a preview before we jump into the meat of it. But we had the Owyhee off road
challenge.
Yeah, off road challenge. Thank you. Challenge. Forget that word. But. again, more on that is upcoming. Then we had some Easter beatdowns, 2.0s around the valley. Some good times. I didn't have the opportunity to hit any of those either. So, yes, things are just getting so big.
I know. Yeah, I didn't get to any of them there.
Nor did I.
I haven't posted.
We need to get more interesting.
We suck, guys. Yeah. I'm sorry. We suck.
So. I've been between the travel and work.
But following that Easter season and things that we have upcoming now. So I know Huckleberry is out there listening, hoping to get some more volunteers. We've got the, is this the Boise River or City of Trees?
Boise River.
Boise River Marathon coming up May 3rd. So if you're thinking about going out there challenging yourself, want to run the marathon, the half marathon, the 10K, the 5K, it's all available to you. And the man is always looking for volunteers, running aid stations, getting things set up, tore down. I believe we're even going to have an F3 booth and table there at the staging area at the finish line. So that'll be a great opportunity to give back.
No, it's great. We've got CSOP coming up too.
Yep, CSOP this Friday overnight, 9 p.m. We are hitting the Green Belt. We are going to be praying that the Green Belt police do not take issue with us rocking overnight. So yeah, we'll be rolling out 9 p.m. We're gonna be rocking down to the Coop. We not rode the route last week. Luckily, nothing's flooded. A couple areas are closed, but we can stay on the Green Belt the entire way. And then we will wrap up at 6 a.m. at the Coop, just in time for the beat down there. I believe the Nation's SLT is going to be there as well. So, and then something about a getting in the river.
I think there's a cold plunge.
There's a cold plunge involved. Yeah. Hooch's face says Hooch can't wait.
I have things that morning. And unfortunately, that cold plunge sounds like an opportunity to just bathe in the river and then get after it.
But yep, if you have an 8 seed, get on the Slack and go ahead and do that. Make sure you're coordinating your rides out there. There's no parking at the start point. Y'all big boys and girls out there. Old boys.
Communicate. Yeah. Communicate and move.
Yep. See you there. 9 o'clock. Lucky Peace State Park. It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, let's. Can we move into some beatdown milestones? Did you have something else?
FNG's first.
Oh. Yeah, so you got one.
There's an order to this.
I'm just so excited today.
It's been too long. We forgot the order.
So after this last month, we have a powerful and distinguished group of FNGs. So we're gonna read through this and welcome these gentlemen in. And again, my favorite part of this whole thing. All right, so starting out, we've got Two Stroke, Banner, Bodyguard, Bronx, Clickbait.
That's my favorite. That's good.
Clutch, Deftone, Drag Race, Intolerant. Of what? I have no idea.
There's got to be a story behind that one.
Liquid, Montana, Nos, Periscope, Phelps.
With a Z.
Yeah, and Phelps is actually back down in California. So he's a new guy here, but he was from at North Coast Group in California. So And he's actually thinking about trying to come back for your CSOP. So,
oh, really?
So we'll see, if he makes it. Phelps, if you hear this, Get on up, man.
Let's go.
Love to see you.
Giddy up.
Then we got Polaroid, Power Wheels, Rapid, Spammer, Special Delivery.
How did I miss that on the first go around? Yeah.
Stick Shift, Sweet and Low, that's good. Victim,
look at you. Victim might be the worst name on the list, and, strictly because of what it could have been.
And followed by Wile, or Wiley, Wile.
I think Wile.
Wile.
Yeah. Unironically, Victim is a victim of your poor naming.
Never going to let that go.
We've given him so much credit for that. Missed an opportunity to name him McLovin.
We did. It sailed us right by.
Oh, Shooch thought of it like an hour after the beatdown, and it was already... I think Victim was already on Slack. Like Blue Fly wasted no time getting that man going.
He's been a great sport. He's been super consistent coming out for the last week and a half or so. Super solid guy. And, you know, some guys, they wrestle with their name initially. He's taken it in stride and has completely owned it. So it's been really good.
You hear that, Rump Roast?
Some take longer than others.
To grow into their name.
That's right.
All right, brother. Go ahead and deliver us those beatdown milestones. All right,
well, we've got some tasty beatdown milestones today. So for the 100 beatdown milestone, we've got Treadstone, Terp, Porky, Leno, Doughboy, Emilio, and Carnivore.
That's a lot of Northside guys there.
So I would say about half of that crew is straight out of Black Canyon.
Yep.
So I got to hand it to Russet and you guys up there, because to have everybody, or at least that core group of guys, hitting 100 beatdown milestones within a few weeks of each other shows some massive commitment and consistency.
Yeah.
So well done to you guys up there. Turp and Treadstone and everybody else, we love you guys too.
Yeah, hell yeah. Big T-claps, guys. Well done.
Absolutely. So after that 100 milestone, you kind of settle in and you know, you get the feel for your consistency and what level of involvement. And so it's a big, big one for sure. All right, so we got 200. We've got Baby Driver and Jar Jar hitting that 200 beatdown milestone. So well done, guys. At 300, we've got Napoleon. So congrats on that.
Mm-hmm.
400, we've got Sushi on the call. Sushi hit that 400 mark.
Congrats,
Sushi.
Oh, finally. Thank you.
Hooch was bemoaning the fact that you were 399 for longer than he wanted. So congrats on hitting that 400. And then at 400 also, we've got Kremlin, Prince, and Wooderson. So
nice.
Congrats on all you guys hitting that 400 mark.
That's a good one.
And then we're going to ratchet it up to 500. And we've got Telecaster hitting that 500
nice.
Milestone.
Wow. All right.
So congrats, Telecaster. And then also on the phone with us is Rocket Man. And Rocket Man has hit that 800 beatdown milestone.
And not just 800, the top of the leaderboard.
He's passed Freighter.
The beatdown leader.
Wow.
Rocket Man himself.
You get a button for that, don't you? Yeah.
Yes, I do.
There we go.
I feel there should be three buttons for that.
High production value here, sir.
So congratulations, everybody, on hitting those milestones. It's always always encouraging to see who's up and coming and who's really pushing themselves up and beyond. So at least with Sushi and Rocket Man, you guys are on the call. Congrats on those milestones.
Yeah, yep, and if you see all those other guys out there in the gloom, make sure you congratulate them.
For sure.
In the next couple weeks.
Yeah. As we jump into VQs from Doodle here in just a second, we had a guy, he was an FNG, called out on our last program, Pandy Paws, came out to Bleach on Monday and gave his first CoQ.
Nice.
So we got the VQ in pencil there on the books, ready to go. So
Pandy Paws, that is also a fantastic
name. That's a great one.
Oh,
absolutely.
I hear that one, I'm like, yes. If you ever want to talk to someone about getting named, talk to Kraken. Like, this man will, like, think about his FNG names before he'll be like, we'll be out at a cafeteria, and he'll be like, I got this guy, and I'm thinking about his name, I'm researching for his name. Like, this man preps and makes sure this is gonna be a quality name, and Panty Paws just absolutely lives up to it.
Sets him up to knock him down.
Yes.
That's great.
You know, we actually going through the list, quite a few CoQs out there, just like Panty Paws, Rambler, Dent, we got one tomorrow, Butane. I've seen quite a few CoQs come through the list, and actually we got three VQs to go over this week. Now, one of them in particular, Flipper here, had the VQ, and I saw in the Slacks that he received the belt for the month. Awesome. Flipper, I also see that you're HC for the CSOP. Can't wait to see you out there and actually get to meet you in person.
Can we have a time? These are achievements of this man. All of them were post being a co-AOQ.
Talk about jumping into the deep end. Wow. So,
carts and horses, gentlemen, but Flipper's out there accelerating like hell. So
he said, what's a cart? What's a horse?
Yeah, right.
He's swimming to a different, I was trying to make a pun there, Flipper joke. Nope. Yeah, I tried. Sorry,
Flipper. It's in the fishbowl somewhere.
Swimming around. Oh, dang. There's also a button for that one, I'm sure.
Sad trombone.
I will say that Flipper got his name for being a gymnast, actually, not related to a dolphin.
Oh, crazy. All right.
See, there's stories behind names. You just don't know. You're like reading through it, and you're like, oh, that's an interesting name. It's interesting. Like, oh, okay. You know, like Power Wheels. Okay. Well, but then you find out the stories, he got ran over by, you know, his sister, you know, driving Power Wheels or something, you know. And then the stories makes it that much better.
Well, to our credit, Sushi, his little icon on Slack is a dolphin.
Yeah.
So oh, yeah.
He had us fooled.
He embraced it. He embraced it. All right.
I think he likes the dolphin noises that we attempt to make during the drama for him. God, they're awful.
I don't have a button for that.
What?
Next time.
Sorry, I'm not done with VQs. Let's go. I get distracted by Flipper.
He heard my segue voice there.
Yeah, I've learned. McQueen also getting his VQ in there, as well as Bronx.
Nice.
So good work, guys. Again, I feel like was Bronx on this week's?
Yeah.
I think they were on this.
He was on this set of FNG. So FNG right into VQ in the same month.
Within a month. That's great.
Excellent work. Excellent. Excellent on the hymns out there who are pushing these people to come up and take the opportunity and vacating that queue slot enough to, you know, invite people to come in and also join the leadership.
Yeah, that is 100% operating as intended for F3.
Yes.
Perfect. All right, now you can say that.
So we've got three gentlemen on the line. We have CSOP coming up this weekend. However, we had some individual efforts going out to the Owyhee Off-Road Challenge. and kind of embracing their own personal, completely stupid and utterly pointless efforts to go out there, achieve something really difficult, and push and push. So I guess the first question is, what is that? And then why in the world, why would you do this? So I think Sushi, we've heard from you a bit. Rocket Man, can you give me just a description of what the course was for you and why you felt it was important that you get out there and challenge yourself with that?
So this was the one I did was a 55K, which is 34 miles for those who don't like real units. This was a race in the trails. So a lot of up and downs, really challenging course. And why would I do that? I would say that F3 is the reason why I did that. Before joining F3, I was doing my 3 miles a day. I was happy with that, finding, you know, the statistics online, confirming that that was about the right amount to maximize your life expectancy and all that kind of crap. But then after joining F3, I decided, I saw that I could push more, and I decided to try my best and do challenges that sometimes might look a little too hard. And I never done 55K before, and I never run the trails. And so I said, that's perfect. So I'll give it a go. And decided to try these long distance run.
So Rocket Man, how many years off your life did 55K take?
I don't know, but those years that I lost, I'm sure it's going to rain, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I guarantee he lost the warranty on his knees.
Yes. Yes. My knees have been screaming at me for a few weeks, but totally worth it.
Very good.
That's great.
Well, hey, we got our man Defrost. Defrost, I heard you're calling in from the other side of the Pacific Ocean.
You bet. I'm over in Korea where it is, what do we have, 9:21 a.m.
Just getting a good start. Hopefully we're helping you out and not slowing you down.
I already got out for a 3.5 mile run, so I'm on top of it.
There he is.
Hey, studies show that is the optimal distance to increase your life expectancy. I heard it this one time from a guy. Very credible source.
So the Owyhee Off-Road for you. What distance did you get into, and why did you choose to pursue that?
Oh, I only did the 10K, so I consider myself more of an athletic supporter compared to Rockaman, Sushi, and these other guys that are doing the long distances. My wife, she's a big trail runner and ultra runner, so she's done the last 2 years, and she loves it out there. The whole town gets into it. It's really supportive. It's a good scene. Everybody's got a really good attitude, and it's a fun thing to do. And so I've been gone last couple times, so this year I decided to do it, and I'm a short distance. I run hard and fast. I don't know if I have the patience or the endurance to do the long and slow. So yeah, I just did the same thing.
Very sure. Good, man.
We do long and fast.
Defrost isn't going to say it, but his M absolutely smashed into women's first place in this 55K. Nice. Well, I mean, wasn't even close. 5 hours and 21 minutes. And second place came in 6 hours and 11 minutes.
Oh, my word.
And that was the course record, I think?
Defrost is coaching up to people. Yeah. Say
that. The girls, the female record, and that's kind of what she does. So, yeah, if you want to talk to somebody who does hard things, you should have her on.
Yeah, but we got you, so.
But, hey, 10K is nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah.
No, that's
great. Yeah, it was good. It was a bunch of other good runners. I think I got fifth or something, but you know, I wasn't paying attention. If you're not first, you're last. So I just challenged myself. If I win or get top three, that's great. But
is that what your M told you? I got home after that because she actually has the medal.
There's the belittling comments. No, she doesn't care.
Well, very good.
That's awesome.
So Sushi is contestant number three. Same question.
So I will say that the whole reason I found out about this thing is because it was a year and a half ago, maybe, I was at Rebel, and Pigeon was talking to me about this trail race over in Oregon, and it's a 55K, and there's also a half marathon. And at that time, I'd never even run a half marathon before. I'd only rucked a half marathon. And so I thought that'd be a good opportunity to challenge myself. So I think it was him and Canuck last year that went and did the 55K, and I came and did the half marathon and just fell in love with the course. I mean, it's so scenic. If you guys haven't seen the photos of this place, it's just absolutely pristine. And especially when you're out there by yourself with not a lot of other people around, it's gorgeous. And so at that time last year, I actually vowed that I was going to come back and do the whole 55K in 2025. And so I'd been working up to that goal over the course of 2024 and, you know, came into it. I didn't really care what place I got. I didn't care if I came in last. I just wanted to be able to finish it in the time that I got. So goals achieved, didn't come in last and finished.
There you
go. So feeling pretty good about how things went. And yeah, I mean, consider myself an ultra runner now. Like, I actually really looking forward to doing more of these things.
Wow, good for you.
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Looking forward to the next one, huh? That's awesome, man. Yeah, there's...
Yes, exactly. I would say for the rest of the packs out there, one of the ways that you can really find out about what you're capable of is to just throw yourself into something that you think is perhaps completely out of your league. Right? Maybe. And then you will really find out what you can do.
Maybe it's completely stupid and utterly pointless.
There you go. There you go.
Go ahead, Rocket Man.
I would add that, you know, even if you try a challenge that you don't think you have good chances of completing, just the fact that you train for it is going to make you better. And so don't be afraid. Do something that seems out of your league. Give it a try. Train for it. And it's really rewarding when you complete it. But even, you know, all the improvements that you got in the meantime.
So my biggest takeaway, right, from, or my biggest question for you guys is actually completing the event is one thing. Just like kind of what we were talking for a little while, the first bit of the year about the 75 hard, where it's not necessarily like the destination being the finishing of the ultra marathon or the finishing of the CSOP or the finishing of the 75 hard. It's the process through which you prepare and train and the discipline that takes. What was your guys' takeaway from your prep for this?
I want Rocketman to go first.
Okay. Well, so, you know, as I said, before doing a three, I wasn't running that much. I was still bragging about that one time in college that I ran 10 miles. And to train for this, I was doing like, you know, 100 to 200 miles per month. And as I was doing that, I was also dealing, and I still am, with a plantar fasciitis injury and some other minor injuries. So it really forces you to, you know, deal with the challenges, deal with the injuries, and just don't stop, don't quit. During the race, there were plenty of times where the legs kind of wanted to give up. There was many reasons you were alone. You had still long distance to go, and yet you just don't quit. It doesn't matter how hard it gets, you just go through with it. And I think that's the one of the lessons that you can carry with you to other aspects of your life. Things might get hard, but you still do your best, and that's what matters.
All right, what you got, Sushi?
So I will say that I feel like we talk about this book a lot in F3, which is great. Anyone who's read The Comfort Crisis will know what I'm talking about.
We all just took bets silently, and no one owes anyone money because we all said the
same
thing.
There you go. And so essentially one of the things that's coming out of the book is if you really want to understand what you're capable of, you should try to do something where you have about a 50% chance of success or 50% chance of failure, whichever you want to look at it. And so as I was going into this thing, I remember I was talking to a few of the packs and they said, oh, you think you're ready to run 55K? And I have no idea. Yeah. I feel 50% ready. And I think it was Timmy who was like, okay, great. You'll do awesome.
So we talked a little about the training and what goes into that and prepping people for hard events, right? But the other part of having a hard event is committing to it. Right, you don't just same person just go and say I'm going to run 200 miles a a month just for the funsies, you know? And you guys talked a little bit about your whys, right? What role do you guys think, and because I hear people say this all the time, I used to be a running coach and people were always like, hey, why would I pay to go run this race when I could just go out and run for free, right? Why would I go sign up to do a CSOP or go sign up for a GTE when I could just go do those things on my own? So what about, you guys shared a little bit of a why, but I guess the why, how do you guys feel committing to a race affected your motivation to train? And we'll start with Defrost because I think we haven't heard from him yet.
That might be part of my problem. I never train. I just go out and like try to crush things.
I'm so glad we started with you.
Yes.
So just day to day, I just try to do stuff to be active with the overall goal being test my mind, test my body, be fit. So I do F3. I do my workouts where I can. I'll run. I run a lot. I don't love running. I have a runner's body and I'm fast at it. So, and I'm competitive. So that's why I do it more, because I'm competitive with myself. See if I can go faster up this hill and do races, see who I can beat. And like you said, committing to a race or something, fits your mindset. You're like, I'm going to do this. I have to do this. Whereas if you use the other mentality of, oh, I could just do this anytime, you could, but usually won't. Right. So it makes you the committal.
So the nice thing, that the thing that I'm hearing here that I'm picking up on, kind of one of the attitudes and foundations of F3 is we're training physically so we can be prepared for the unprepared, right? Prepared. The things that we don't foresee coming at us. So the idea that, hey, I'm at this level of preparedness, so I can go and take on something that's maybe a little bit in the dark. I'm not specifically trained to accomplish that feat as you lay it before me, but I have enough preparation that says I can go and I can take on that challenge with some reasonable expectation that I'm going to be successful. I think, Sushi, you were kind of alluding to that as well. I don't know if I can make 55 kilometers or not, but I'm doing enough that I can be prepared to take that challenge on.
Well, like it was alluded to earlier in different senses, is if you do enough things to challenge yourself, it's more mental, right? It's your mind telling your body it can do these hard things when your body's protesting. And if you do that enough, it just becomes regular.
I like to think of it as a, you know, what's the use of being prepared if you never test that preparedness? You never know. You know, you go run 200 miles in a month, but can I actually do 55K? You don't know until you go test it. Right? You don't know how prepared you are to go move long distance or, you know, run fast or take on a certain challenge unless you actually go out and test it. And committing to a test is the way to hold yourself accountable and keep working towards that level of preparedness.
Well, Sushi, let's also talk about kind of the conditions that you found out there. You talked about being out there and being alone in that wide open expanse. Like, that's not 55 kilometers of, you know, flat pavement that your guys are out running on. You're out there kind of on a trail in the wilderness. How did the conditions out there play into it for you?
I would say that I fared much, much better than everyone who did this same race last year in 2024. Just to recap what happened, there was a miniature hurricane that came through. Like, I mean, literally, you know, 60 mile an hour winds blowing, wind, rain, dark, the whole shebang. It was bad.
You know, when you talked about all the pictures you saw, how beautiful it is. The only pictures I've seen of that area is Canucks suffering through like the hurricane, talking about like with a jacket like tightly strung across them, looking just absolutely miserable. And that's the only thing picture I've seen of the Wahi challenge.
Yeah, so forgot it was also cold.
Go ahead, Defrost.
I was gonna say, you forgot it was also cold. My wife said she had to hang out in a porta potty for about 15 minutes to warm back up. No. She thought she was getting from it.
Yeah, so fast forward this year, much, much better. I mean, the course was gorgeous. I thought it was going to be all covered with snow. It wasn't. The weather was rainy at times, but we didn't get hit too hard. and conditions overall, I mean, I couldn't ask for better. And yeah, just had a great time.
So do you feel like you missed out on the additional challenge of having that crap weather?
I don't know. There was a guy at one of the aid stations who was talking about the specific consistency of the mud last year. Like, it was so bad that it would actually like cake inches on the bottom of your shoes. And there was a guy who was using a metal spatula, like you might flip burgers with at a burger joint. He was using a metal spatula to scrape these inches of mud off the bottom of people's shoes.
Oh man!
Yeah, I definitely did not feel like I'd missed out on anything on that.
But you know, those are the type of experiences you don't prepare for. I don't necessarily go out when I'm training. Like, I'm going to go find the muddiest part and go run in it, because you don't know if I need to train in the mud. You know, you don't, if it's a condition you don't know about, but then your ability to go push through that says a lot about testing how you can perform.
Well, on Rocketman, you touched on something that I struggle with. You mentioned, you know, being out in the middle of a tough event and pushing yourself through that, even though your brain is telling you to stop. I struggle with my brain telling me, you don't have to be doing this. Why are you doing this? So what is that?
Yeah.
What does that look like for you when you're out there mile 27 and your brain's telling you to stop, your knees hurt, you're thirsty, you're tired? What does that look like for you to push through that to get to the end?
I think there are multiple factors going into it. One thought that I always have is the fact that my family is going to be waiting at the finish line. I just want to see them. I just want to see them. And if I stop, I'm not going to see them anytime soon. I need to keep going. Another thought that comes to mind is all the training that you've done. Are you just going to waste it all? Or are you just going to, you know, roll up your sleeves and keep going? And then there is a quote that I think I shared also after Girl Rock with Hooch. And it goes like this. It's like, the one perfectly divine thing, the one glimpse of God's paradise given on earth, it's to fight a losing battle and not lose it. I like it because you really feel it. You think that you're about to lose, but there is something special about not giving up. Just focusing on the next step. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. I'm just going to make another step.
Yeah, Rocketman, I still have that quote written down and posted on a bulletin board in my bedroom. So that hits. That hits.
I'm gonna need that in your beautiful radio voice, you know, just like Morgan Freeman style, you know.
I'm not gonna follow Rocketman. Rocketman, he's the one that gave it to me, so he gets all credit for that one.
But I think there is something special about being able to keep going.
Yeah.
When it's not bad.
No,
and in a perverse way, I kind of like that feeling. You know, your knees are shot, your quads are destroyed, and you still don't quit. And you also realize how much of that is mental when you hit the final stretch. You know, for me, that was kind of a really strange feeling. I got back on the road. It was maybe half mile to go. I was so sore. But then, you know, my family's there. I know my wife and my kids are going to be seeing me crossing that finish line. I see Retina, who's my F3 dad, on the side of the road, cheering for me and running a little bit with me. And suddenly you forget about all the pain. You forget about the injuries. You forget about anything. You just want to essentially let your legs go. And I think that last half mile was the fastest for me in the whole, wow, the fastest pace in the whole race. I just enjoyed and said, you know, I'm just going to give it all. This is the best part of the race. And let's see what I can do.
Well, that's great. That's super inspirational for me. Cause surely I'm not the only one that struggles with that mental toughness aspect of something like that. Where you have to really put everything into focus, that you're training, people waiting for you at the end, even like kind of the pressure that you put on yourself to finish and to accomplish something like that. That's a lot to handle in the midst of that kind of suffering. So well done, and good inspirational advice too.
And especially when you're alone,
you know,
when you're running with other people next to you, it's easier to find the energy But when you're alone for 15 miles or so or more, you have to dig deep to find the motivation and the energy for sure.
That's awesome, guys. I want to respect your guys' time this evening. I know you guys are kind of taking away time from end of day or beginning of day routines. But I want to follow up with each of you guys and just like the most important thing that you took away from this having it in the rearview mirror. So let's go ahead. We'll go Sushi and then Defrost, and we'll wrap up with Rocket Man.
I will say that when I started F3, I could barely run 2 miles. I think I remember training for the PT for Grow Ruck. My 2 mile time was like 25 minutes. Since then I've come half marathon, full marathon, ultra. I think that having the support of other men around you and committing to something and telling yourself that you're going to follow through with it no matter what, I think is really key to continuing to grow your abilities and learn more about who you are and also be an inspiration to others. So I thought I would mention that. That's definitely something that's been on my mind a lot this year and can't wait to continue to get out there and do more.
Oh yeah, man, you're definitely that rising star that I know a lot of people look up to what you've done and accomplished and how you've grown in your time in F3. So don't think that you're the only one who sees it. Don't stop, never stop, man. How about you, Defrost?
Yeah, my biggest takeaway is just seeing the mentality and the bravery of everybody, and then these dudes in F3 that took this on and are an accomplishment. Like I said, I just did the 10K, which isn't too much of a challenge. But the other guys doing long distances, wow, that is something really to commit to, and see them coming across the finish line was just awesome. Made me proud.
Hell yeah. All right. Thank you. Rocket Man, you're up.
I would echo what Sushi said. I think the concept of acceleration was really important in this. You start that you're not capable of doing long distances. You do your first half marathon, your first full, you do your first ultra. And after a couple of days of rest, you get a text from Noid asking you, are you going to do the marathon? Are you going to do the marathon in St. George this fall? But it's really this kind of hunger for more challenges, hunger to really find ways to improve yourself. And as much as you can see, you know, find inspiration with people doing these kind of long distances, you also find inspiration every morning in the gloom, even from the new guy who's really pushing as hard as he can to get better than he was when he started. It's like being surrounded by other men trying to get better provides so much inspiration for going forward. And so, yeah, I completed this one, and I'm really looking forward to the next one. Looking out for the best opportunity to keep testing myself.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much for taking the time out this evening, coming in here, sharing this with us. Congratulations on the achievement of taking that on, and I hope this inspires some other guys to look at something that looks utterly ridiculous on its face and something that's an insurmountable challenge, and knowing that if you take it on, there's always the chance that you might succeed and overcome. So once again, thank you guys. Really appreciate your time. We'll let you go and have a great evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Well, now that they're gone. No, it's absolutely amazing what you can do, and you just think maybe you have 50% chance of doing it and getting out after it.
Well, and there were a couple other guys too that weren't able to call in, but maybe a good 6 or 7 mm-hmm. of our guys going out there, and that's really good. I2, like individual initiative, because guys from different running experiences. Some people, you know, Defrost saying that he's not like a distance guy, but he likes to go support his wife and hang out with the F3 guys. And then you've got Noid, you know, and Rocket Man doing these crazy ultras. And it's really cool to see these guys continue to push themselves further and further and support themselves in that too. So
what does that mean for everybody else that's listening, right? Great question. Individual initiative. right? We've talked about this quite a few times out here. We've done a number of different type of CSOMPs. We've done a number of different type of events. We got Ruck for Giving. We had the Sun Up to Sundown Beatdown. We had GTE. I mean, we've had quite a few events going on. So if there's something, maybe ultramarathoning is not your thing, right? Maybe you like to, pick up, put down heavy things like butane and team out at Interceptor, right? Maybe, so find something out there that you guys can go and initiate, right? Show that individual initiative and bring other men along with you, right? The completely stupid, utterly pointless isn't reserved just for those who want to go run ultra marathons or go ruck long distances, things like that. Find your what, find your why, and then go out there and chase it and find who you're going to bring along with you.
Yeah, this definitely, listening to this conversation, I'm just thinking to myself, kind of that self-talk. It's like, well, what the hell is your excuse? I don't go out and look for a 5K to go run.
I got 200 miles of excuses.
So yeah, this for me, like specifically this kind of challenge, that's so far out of my expectations for myself and what I would even enjoy training for. Yeah. I know a lot of guys enjoy running. I don't care for it whatsoever. However, definitely one of the things that within F3, and I find myself kind of having these seasons of fading in and fading out and having, a little bit more strong focus of effort. And it's, hey man, if that sounds like something that you don't want to do, it probably means you need to engage with it. Mm. And you need to do something with that. So
I guess I would challenge you. What's your preparedness test? What are you going to go out there and test yourself in and say, how am I preparing myself? And you don't have to answer right now, but it's just, the food for thought thing. I was also kind of challenged with this recently. I used to do a lot of the pre-F3, used to do a lot of the runnings and races, and got a little burnt out from it, and then had to ask myself, what's my test to see if I'm purposefully driving on towards something bigger and better, doing 1,000-pound club, still working towards that, I've been exploring the idea of maybe doing tactical games. Have you ever seen those? It's kind of like CrossFit and shooting. I mean, who doesn't like throwing sandbags around and shooting
you
things?
You have my attention.
Right? But this goes back to you. What are you going to do to test your preparedness? We kind of talked about it a little bit with those guys is, Defrost going out there is like, I'm just trying to keep a constant state of, can I be able to go do this? And then I think there's an importance in varying those activities you go out there and you try and crush. GT, never did anything like GT before, and I don't know if I will again, but put me in the hospital. Not actually GT. GT didn't actually do that to me. Changing up how you go out and conquer different preparedness activities.
Yeah, and I think at the very least, you can take stock of, and I'll speak for myself, I could take stock of the things that I'm maybe actively avoiding from a fitness standpoint and questioning those things. Like, why am I avoiding that? Is it just because I don't want to be in pain? I don't want to suffer through that.
How are your pull-ups?
Exactly. Thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, shamelessly going to go back to our conversations of New Year's resolutions.
He comes in, he's got him with the body blow. He really hurt him with that one, John.
Well, it's a very great question because it's very appropriate to this conversation. I have not touched the pull-ups since I was traveling pretty frequently in March. So it's been maybe 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of fallen off that train. From a consistency standpoint. And to be completely honest, I haven't necessarily ran back to it either. Right. Mm-hmm. And so again, I have to take stock. Why am I not engaging with that?
Yeah.
Every man has pride. Every man has ego. And we have those things that, we're pre-programmed to avoid pain and suffering. Right. And it takes an application of willpower and understanding of purpose to give us a reason to drive past that and to understand, when my brain's telling me stop, don't do that, ignore that little voice, is that always a good thing? No, absolutely not. So we have to have that understanding of, is what I'm doing going to get me to achieve the purpose that I've stated that I'm pursuing right now? And understanding sometimes it means changing. And it's always going to be discomfort of one variety or another, whether that's in the start or whether that's in the struggle or whether that's in the failing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said something in changing, and you know, with training, like how Rocketman and they were doing, you don't just you don't do that training without changing something about your daily routine. Yes. Mm-hmm. You don't just go, you know, all of a sudden wake up and say, like, I've got time to go run 200 miles this month, or 200 miles, right? Yeah. You don't just like pull that time out of a magic bag, right? You have to make that time to go do that, right? I remember when my wife and I were really trying to train a lot for running races, like we took a lot of sacrificing to have both of us trying to, you know, do this to go compete. Right. And so these guys saw just that, you know, you have to change not just your attitude towards the activity, right? But you have to actually go change a habit to make sure that you are accomplishing that as well.
Well, and it's we have the benefit of having guys like Sushi and Rocket Man and Noid, who have over the last, you know, 2 years gone from, you know, not really running or doing much of that to running these crazy ultra hyper marathons. Mm-hmm. And these guys each have incredible stories to tell and lessons to be learned. So if you get a chance to talk with any of those guys that are doing this, I mean, even Canuck and Pigeon, guys that have done these before, pick their brain.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about being test of preparedness, right? You got Canuck, 1 month is running 55K, and then 2 months later is in the ring having a fight.
Right.
Right. A sanctioned fight. But for anyone who doesn't know Canuck and what he's doing, you want to talk about some well-rounded preparedness and different tests of preparedness. That's another just great example of, you know, sign up for something, go out and do it. Go commit to something and go out and do it. Go commit to something and bring someone else with you and go out and do it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of looking at this, guys, look at your life. Where are the difficult things that you're kind of avoiding, and what's something that you're going to run towards? Because it's going to make you better, whether you achieve that or not, or just the attempt at it is going to be something that's worth driving towards. So signing off for one more week, this is James Whitman Hooch.
Tyler Geller, Doodle.
And Guillermo Marcel, 37, Cortana.
See you boys in the gloom. We love you.